I'm Karen Hartglass. It's time for It's All About Food. How are you today? Good. That sounded like a good. I'm good. Thanks for asking. You know, we have this conversation where I talk and I hear you somehow. I hear you. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Thanks for listening. This show, we talk about food. We do it every week. And we learn all kinds of wonderful things from the experts and authors and food people that join me on this program. And something that's really important is that we tune in love. Love is the only answer, everybody. If ever you're in a challenge and you don't know what to do, take a deep breath and think about love. You will find a healing answer. So I'm taking a deep breath right now. Okay, speaking about love, my next guest has been using love for about two decades now with her very passionate project. Ellie Lax is the founder of The Gentle Barn. She is responsible for the daily care of the animals and programs at The Gentle Barn and has been since The Gentle Barn's inception in 1999. And if you can do the math, that's 20 years. And that's what we're going to be talking about today, the 20th anniversary of The Gentle Barn with founder Ellie Lax. Hi, Ellie.
Hi, thanks for having me.
I'm very happy to have you. I've had you on the program twice before, and I love talking with you and hearing about the amazing work that you're doing. So I'm happy to have this opportunity again. And before we hear about The Gentle Barn, I just like to say we talk a lot about food on this program. We talk about the health aspects of food, the environmental aspects of food, but the foundation for me for doing all of my work is for the animals. I got into this world because I didn't want to contribute to the pain and suffering and exploitation. That's my foundation, everybody. And we talk about lots of different reasons why we don't want to eat animals, but the main reason for me is because of who they are. And Ellie, you're doing great work with saving some of those precious individuals at your three locations now. So let's hear more about The Gentle Barn.
Thank you. And by the way, I couldn't agree with you more about reasons. Yeah, we have three locations. We're located in Los Angeles, California, Nashville, Tennessee, and St. Louis, Missouri. But we started in Los Angeles. We've been around for 20 years, like you said. And basically, we rescue animals that have nowhere else to go because they're too old, too sick, too lame, or too scared to be adoptable by anyone else. Mm-hmm. We rescue horses, cows, pigs, sheep, goats, chickens, turkeys, peacocks, llamas, dogs, cats, donkeys, and parrots. And we bring them in, we rehabilitate them with vet care, but we use acupuncture, acupressure, chiropractic, deep tissue massage therapy, ultrasound, ice therapy, water therapy, energetic healing, nutritional supplements, and lots of love. And once they're finally happy and healthy, and if we can find them a home of their own, great. And if not because they need ongoing care for the rest of their lives, then we give them sanctuary with us forever.
Well, that's beautiful. Tell me, how long have the sanctuaries been around in Tennessee and Missouri?
So Tennessee started 4 years ago. It started with a birthday wish, actually. I don't know where this came from, but I told my husband that for my birthday, all I wanted to do was rescue a cow. And a few days later, somebody called and said there was this cow in Tennessee that had lost a foot and he couldn't walk. Mm. And she had made over 200 phone calls and no one else could help. So my husband researched for a bovine surgeon and a company to make a prosthetic foot and then said, happy birthday, we're going to Tennessee. So we ended up going to Tennessee. The cow, Dudley, had several amputations and surgeries and healing methods like water therapy, acupuncture, and electric muscle therapy. And then he was fitted with his prosthetic. And then once he was used to wearing it, he was discharged. And by then we opened a gentle barn for him. 4 years ago.
Wow, that's so beautiful. What a great gift. I mean, you're giving the gift, but getting a gift, and it's beautiful all around.
And St. Louis started almost 2 years ago, where there were six cows that escaped a slaughterhouse, and they were running through the streets, and it made national news. At the end of the day, the authorities finally rounded them up and sent them back to the slaughterhouse, but by this time, people were calling the slaughterhouse saying, you have to let them live. And so the slaughterhouse agreed to let a sanctuary come and get them, and the community had raised a GoFundMe for their freedom money, but no sanctuary stepped forward. And so day after day, no sanctuaries were willing to take them. And so finally, 4 days later, the man of the slaughterhouse said, this is ridiculous, I'm going to slaughter them in the morning. At which point, our phone started ringing. My husband jumped on a red eye, got there in time to stop their slaughter, pulled them to the hospital to fix their injuries and infections, and then found a foster home while we found a property, raised our own GoFundMe campaign, bought the property, and started the third gentle barn almost 2 years ago.
Wow. So your original gentle barn is 20 years old, and I can't imagine the responsibilities that have been involved, first from birthing the gentle barn. But unlike children that people raise, the work, the nurturing never becomes independent, where children go off and they're on their own. This is like a forever ongoing project. And, you know, I wonder how that is for you in terms of energy and workload and motivation, and how do you do it?
Well, you know, they say when you're living your dream, you don't work a day in your life. And it's really true. I mean, me and my husband, we run the gentle barn together, and we do put in 14 to 16 hour days, 7 days a week, where there's extensive travel because we're going to our other locations as well as doing other rescues in other states. So there's lots of travel, lots of managing staff and volunteers, lots of animals that we're overseeing because we have 200 animals. Most of them are old, so they need lots of care to keep them mobile and comfortable. So it definitely is very, very time consuming, but I love it. I mean, I'm living my dream every single day. It's all I ever wanted since I was a kid. So I'm just so grateful to be able to live this life.
When you were talking about the animals that you have and the treatments that you give them, it sounds very much like treatments that humans will get, the wide range of things that we can have. And I'm connecting the dots here because I'm continually reading stories about how many people are struggling with their own emotional challenges, abuse on a variety of different levels. Humans treat each other horribly in many cases, and we need so many different kinds of treatments to attempt to heal us. But there is something else that helps us heal, and you do it at your sanctuaries with the animals and with children. And the animals can teach us something, especially, I imagine, if they've been abused and then experienced some amount of love, they are there to unconditionally give back to us. Can you talk about what you're doing with children
and at-risk youth? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, animals have so much to teach us. So there was struggles going on in my own childhood. I had some abuse going on and some loneliness. And it was always animals that saved me. As a matter of fact, I tried to kill myself when I was 7 years old, and it was a hummingbird that saved my life. So I grew up with a very firm belief that animals are angels among us, that they're here to connect us to back to who we really are. They're here to remind us of our worth, and they're here to connect us to the love inside ourselves. And animals have always saved me, inspired me, and given me hope to keep going. So that's what we do at the gentle barn. At the gentle barn, we take in animals that have nowhere else to go. We heal them and give them sanctuary. And then when they're ready, we partner with them to heal people with the same stories of abuse and neglect. So we work with foster agencies, inner city schools, drug and alcohol rehab centers, war veteran centers, senior centers, special needs classes. And basically what we do is domestic violence shelters. What we do is we ask the agencies to identify their part of the population that is not responding to traditional therapy. The people that won't talk, that will not be open or vulnerable, and that don't want to relive their experiences. And we ask those agencies to bring those clients to us. And then instead of trying to get them to talk in a traditional therapy setting, Instead, we do the talking and we tell them animal stories. But when we're telling the animal stories, we're really telling their story. And so all of a sudden, in hearing a story that is their own, they know that they're not the only one. They know that there's someone else out there that has suffered their pain. In seeing the animal play and live a wonderful, idyllic life, they know that they can get there too. They get to practice gentleness when they're holding the animals. They get to practice leadership and confidence by holding larger animals. They get to put their hands in Mother Earth and connect with nature through planting gardens. We take resilient walks where we explore nature and talk about the resilience of nature, all in an effort to cultivate self-awareness and hope for the future in these lost people. And they really end up finding themselves in the barnyard.
I love it. I love that story. There seems to be a ring on my end, and I have no idea where it's coming from. So I'm sorry. I've never heard the sound before, and it just keeps coming going. I hope it goes.
Yeah.
All right. We need more of you, and I'm glad to hear that there's three sanctuaries because so many people need healing. Clearly, there are some that have extreme special needs, but I think we can learn so much from animals. And we do so many terrible things. What else is going on at the sanctuary that you want to tell us about?
Well, one of the things that I'm particularly excited about is in April coming up, we have one of our pigs' birthday. He is 12 years old. So what we deal with a lot at sanctuaries is the fact that farm animals are genetically engineered to get very big very fast. So they can go to slaughter when they're babies. And so what we end up with when we rescue animals is 3,000-pound cows and 1,000-pound pigs and obese turkeys that by the time they're two, they can't walk anymore. And so we deal with all these very enormous animals, and our task is to keep them mobile and comfortable for as long as possible. Now, we go to our veterinarians and ask them for help, but veterinarians are not really versed in caring for elderly farm animals because farm animals aren't allowed to live typically till old age. So instead of our veterinarians helping us, we're actually out on the cutting edge developing methods for caring for senior farm animals and giving the data to the veterinarians. So we do. We have cows that get acupuncture. We have turkeys that get acupuncture. We have pigs that get acupuncture, massage therapy. We use CBD oil. There's a whole gamut of things that go into keeping them mobile and comfortable for longer. So when I started the Gentle Barn, farm pigs that were 1,000 pounds or more because of the genetic engineering had a lifespan about 4 or 5 years, because by the time they're full grown, mobility issues start kicking in. It becomes harder and harder for them to walk. And then once they can no longer walk, their organs start shutting down and, you know, you're at the end of the road. So over the last 20 years, we've been playing with how do we get farm pigs to live longer. So, yes, we've brought acupuncture, massage therapy, CBD, and all kinds of things to the table. We also use organic fruits and vegetables to feed them. We keep them on a very low-calorie diet other than that. We give them lots and lots of exercise every single day, and we keep them on really fluffy beds of straw so that they're not laying on the hard ground. And the combination of all of that has enabled us to celebrate our pig Zeus's 12th birthday. And we have never had a pig that lived that long in the history of the Gentle Barn, and we're ecstatic.
Happy birthday. That's beautiful.
So we're going to have a giant birthday party for him, and we're really, really excited.
And when is that going to be?
That is going to be April 21st on Sunday from 10 to 2.
The day before Earth Day and the day before my birthday.
Nice.
I won't forget that. I wish I could be in town for that, but I live in New York.
No, I wish you'd come to his party.
Yeah, at some point I'm going to get there. I visit Northern California frequently, and every time I'm there, I think I got to take a spin down south because there's so much to do, but I haven't done that in a long time. But when I do, Gentle Barn will be on my list.
Nice.
Now, the big sanctuary is in California, and I'm wondering, in the last few years since we've had some dramatic weather changes, lots of droughts and lots of rain, has that affected the sanctuary?
Yes, it really has. Absolutely. We've had to make a bigger effort, especially in our Tennessee and Missouri location, to figure out ways of how to keep everybody warm, how to melt the ice. Just this last winter, the doors to our barn were frozen shut. And we had to figure out a way how to melt the ice to open the barn doors, how to keep everybody outside in conditions that are dry and not muddy, how to keep everybody warm with heaters and blankets and jackets. I think that we've done a really good job. Everybody has been very comfortable this winter, but it is kind of an ongoing job. Also in Tennessee, we've had extreme flooding. It literally will not stop raining over there. And so we've had flooding issues that we've had to deal with. So, just kind of adapting the barns and helping the animals adapt to colder climates has definitely been a chore on the in the farm, but we've done it.
You keep succeeding. How do
Yeah.
you do that? How do you meet
Well,
each challenge and succeed?
my motto is just never take no for an answer. I don't believe in no. I don't believe in I can't. I just know that there's an answer, and I know that I'm going to find it. So
Is everybody
we
as
have.
inspired as I am? That's why I love talking to you. There's so much bad news out there, and we need to focus on the good and not say no. We need to say yes and do whatever it is we're dreaming about because we can do it and it matters.
Thank you.
Ah.
Yeah, listen, I think that when we're really inspired to do something, to love something, to yearn for something, it's because we're supposed to have it. So, I just don't believe in no. I just think that there are answers out there. There's infinite possibilities, and you just have to connect to them and find them. And if you believe you're going to find the answer, then you do find the answer. I remember years ago, we had a veal calf. So that's a calf that was taken away from her mom at birth from the dairy industry, so her breast milk could be stolen for people to drink. And then she was stomped on her spine so that she couldn't walk. And she laid there for 8 weeks, and then they were going to send her for slaughter for veal. And we were given the amazing opportunity to save her. And so we brought her home to the gentle barn, and we had the vets look at her. We had two different vets look at her, and they both said the same thing. They all said, "She'll never walk again. You should euthanize her." But I don't know. It didn't sound right to me. She had life in her eyes. I was not going to give up on her. And so I said, "Well, why can't she walk?" And I kind of examined the situation. "Well, she can't walk because her spine is crooked." Okay, well, what do you do when you have a crooked spine? You get a chiropractor. So I started calling around to different human chiropractors, asking them if they would work on a cow. And as crazy as that sounds, I did get somebody to say yes and said, "I'm a human chiropractor, but I've done work on horses and dogs, and I would be open to working on a cow." So he came out and he kept working on her spine every single day. And every single day after his session, you could tell that the spine was a little bit straighter and a little bit straighter. And then after a few weeks, he said, "Her spine is straight. So she could technically walk right now. She just doesn't know she can walk because she never has. So now you need to help her start building muscles and know that she can walk." So what we did was we got volunteers with her all through the day. And every half hour, we taught those volunteers how to pick her up on her feet and get her to take a few steps before laying back down. And the first day, she just stood there for a couple seconds and laid back down. The second day, she took one step and laid back down. The third day, she took a few steps and laid back down. And every time they did this, every half hour, her muscles developed. She gained the confidence to know that she could walk, and she started taking more and more steps until finally, after several months, she was walking and running and playing, and she is now 8 years old, thriving in our barnyard.
This is such a powerful story. Do any of the veterinarians that you went to for help know what happened?
Yes, they do. And that's one of my favorite things about this work, actually, is kind of being on the cutting edge, supporting these animals outside the box, and then going back to the veterinarians and helping them understand the benefit of acupuncture and chiropractor and nutritional supplements and all the things that we use to try to get them to implement the benefits of those with his other patients. Because veterinary medicine is wonderful, but there's a whole slew of other things that aid in the healing process. And if you can accommodate all of them, you can really heal a lot more animals. I have a very similar story many years ago when I was rescuing a lot of dogs and cats, and we still are, but just before I started the Gentle Barn, I was rescuing hundreds of dogs and cats. There was a cat who was owned by some drug addicts, and they brought her to me in a toolbox, a closed toolbox. There's no air in a toolbox. So, I mean, she was lucky to be alive, but she had brain damage and she couldn't move at all. She was completely paraplegic. Then I brought her to the vet. Well, the vet didn't really know how to fix her or what to do. He did exploratory surgery, which failed. He tried a bunch of different meds and drugs and steroids that failed. And he finally said, you know, I think it's time to euthanize her. And it was just something, I can't explain it. There was just something about the spark in her eye and the loudness of her purr. She would hear me. She would hear me down the street and she would start purring. There was a life force about her and I just couldn't give up on her. And the vet said that I was absolutely insane. And he said, you know, if you're not going to euthanize her, then you need to take her out of here because we don't believe in what you're doing. And I said, that's fine. I just want to try something before completely giving up on her. And I brought her home and I found a superfood algae. Sun chlorella algae superfood is an algae that we use to boost all the animals' immune systems. And I started putting it down her throat just to kind of boost her immune system and give her every opportunity to turn this thing around. And I kid you not, within 3 months, she was running around my house. And I took her back to the veterinarian and told him what I had done. And he did not believe me that it was the same cat. And I swore to him, I was like, of course it's the same cat. And he didn't believe me.
Oh, my goodness. What another powerful story. Well, I said when we opened the show today that we're tuning in love. And these are two beautiful examples about how love heals. And not only do we need to believe in ourselves, but it's so powerful when we have a loving community around us to support us and believe in us. And these two stories are beautiful just on their own about these precious animals. But we all need to take that message in because so many people are sick on one level or another and don't believe that they can heal. And one of the reasons why they don't believe it is because the people that we put so much power in and respect for, the doctors, our medical establishment, don't believe that we can heal. But in many, many cases, we can. And we have to believe in ourselves and a loving community around us to support us. And maybe even connecting with some animals will help you along in your journey. That's the great message that I get from these two stories.
You know, I love that you said that because I believe very deeply in what you're saying. I do believe that we get labeled and diagnosed and then we're treated accordingly. And it doesn't allow a lot of room for healing. We work with a lot of children and adults with special needs, and they come in with staff and therapists that treat them through the lens of their diagnosis and through the lens of their condition. And so they're constantly being told what they cannot do. And it's astounding to us, actually. It's one of the things that's the hardest to deal with. I remember this one girl, we had a group of high schoolers with special needs. And this one girl absolutely was in love with our pigs. And she would go into the pig barn and just lay in the straw with them and sing and hum and pet them. And she just loved being with them. And one day, this young girl was running towards the pig barn to step up into it so she could lay with the pigs like she always did. And as she was about to step up into the barn, the counselors grabbed her. And we said, oh, my God, what, like, can't you let her go? Let her do her thing. And they said, oh, she can't make that step by herself. And we were saying, but she was just about to do that. She was just about to do it. Can't you let her try? And they were like, no, she can't do that. And me and my husband were kind of going, look, please, we're asking you, please, to let go of her and see what she can do on her own before deciding that she can't. And they let go of her. They were very frustrated with us. But they let go of her, and up the steps she went into the barn. She laid down like she always did with the pigs. And they were so focused on what she could not do that they could not back away enough to let her shine. And that's one of the things we did at the Gentle Barn is we kept reinforcing, yes, she can. Let her try. Let her do it. Let's see what she can do. And by the end of the program, she was doing so much more by herself than she ever did before, and it helped the counselors see her in a different light. So sometimes, I mean, look, there are legitimate diagnoses and legitimate conditions that we have, of course. But sometimes it could be the way other people see us, and they limit us in that view. And sometimes it could be the way that we see ourselves. And if we could just believe in ourselves and think beyond our diagnosis and beyond our conditions and vision who we really are and the strength and power and determination in each of us and let it shine, we could keep pushing the envelope and stretching that rubber band and doing more and more and more till we find ourselves more and more healed and empowered.
You're doing amazing work, and you're doing amazing work with non-human animals, and there are so many billions, unfortunately, that we slaughter every year for food and for other purposes that are not necessary, and we exploit them as much as we can for our own, quote, benefit. And it's beautiful that you can save a precious few of them and share this with other people so that people can learn from this and perhaps help make positive change. But I'm thinking we need these types of facilities for humans too, not just for animals. You're bringing children in and teens in, and that's a great thing. But I know a lot of people that certainly could thrive if they were residing at your sanctuary and getting the care that you give the animals.
Well, I don't know about residing, but we certainly are open to the public every Sunday. We do private tours and groups during the week, and there's room here for everyone.
The healing
on the property is so beautiful. There's a healing energy here that's, yes, the animals are heroes and ambassadors, but the actual grounds is so healing and peaceful, and you feel connected to nature and connected to yourself. It's really magic.
That's an interesting point that we'll end on this one. Feeling the energy of a space, feeling the positive energy or the negative energy. Some places just don't feel safe. But then there are some spaces that feel nourishing and loving and positive just by being in it. And I'm asking everyone, have you felt that? Have you recognized places that feel good, where the energy is so positive? And you're saying that your sanctuary has that feeling.
Yes, absolutely. When we look for land, starting another location, the acreage, the size, the amenities, the location, the price, those are all really important factors. But the most important factor is, what does the property feel like? Does it feel like a sanctuary? Does it feel like a healing place? When we were looking for the location in Nashville, Tennessee, we had a property that was bigger, less expensive, better location, bigger house. And I stood on that land with my eyes closed and said, this is not it. This is not it. It did not have good energy. It was not healing. It was dark. And then we ended up with a place that was slightly more expensive and slightly less acreage. But when I stood on that land and closed my eyes and took a deep breath, I know for 100% certain that that was the place, because it felt so healing, like a vortex, so much love, so much joy, so much peace. And that when people step onto our property out of their cars, they feel that immediately before they even get to the animals. And so it's sanctuary, not just for the animals, but for people, for everyone that's on that land, they'll feel a piece of that.
I understand that. Some people might be listening and say, okay, these women are batty. But we know we have five senses, but I think we have more than that. Maybe it's intuition or something, but a sense for energy, perhaps. I don't know what it is because I can't comprehend it, but I know that there's more to our ability to sense things. I purchased property in Costa Rica about 15 years ago. I plan to do something with it, and I have yet to do it because life got in the way. But I do visit, and what happened to me was just that. I wasn't intending to buy as big a piece as I did, but I stood on this land and I'm tearing up just talking about it, but it spoke to me. And it was such a powerful, positive energy. And I love it there. So I know I know what you mean.
Wow,
maybe I should bring a gentle barn over there in Costa Rica. Who knows?
Yeah. Let me know when you want to make it a gentle barn. I'm ready.
Yes. Okay. Well, I always love talking to you, Ellie. Is there anything else you'd like our listeners to know other than they should donate to the Gentle Barn at gentlebarn.org?
Yes, that would be really helpful. We can't feed them on our own. We need partners from around the world that will help us fund the hay and the vet care and our programs. So, and then, so gentlebarn.org. And of course, everyone can follow us on social media for more pictures, stories, and motivational episodes from our animals.
Beautiful. Well, thank you for joining me on It's All About Food today.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Give a big hug to all of your animals and all of your staff that help you.
I will.
Okay. Take care. That was Ellie Lex of The Gentle Barn, everybody. Visit gentlebarn.org to learn more. And perhaps you can visit them either in Santa Clarita, California, or in Tennessee, or in Missouri. Beautiful.